Good evening, Peter. Welcome to the Space Show.
Well, good evening, Andrew. It's a pleasure to be here.
In recent years, the Soviet Union and, or Russia as it now is, and the United States began to have discussions on merging the GPS system and the GLONASS system. To what extent was the fact that the Soviets now knew that the details of their system was known in the West due to your work after you published it, to what extent did that make those two systems come together anyway?
Oh, I think it had very little to do with the work that we had been doing. The Russians were perfectly well aware that we had done what we had done, and I rather think that they were quite pleased that we had done it. But I don't think it influenced in any way the decision, political decision, to open up to the West. I think there were other larger factors playing a role there.
How does the accuracy of the two systems, the American and the Russian system, compare?
Well, essentially, the straight answer to that one is they are more or less the same. Comparing like with like. The fact that the bandwidth of the Russian signal is half the bandwidth of the American signal doesn't mean that it's half as accurate. The question of accuracy is rather more complicated than that. It's somewhat less accurate, but really, if one was to say that the American system in one configuration was capable of 25 meters, you might be arguing that the Russian was capable of 30. So more or less the same.
In the West, there's much talk about using add-on services such as satellite navigators in cars and things like that. Is any work of a similar nature being done in Russia today?
I don't know. I doubt it. I think the preoccupations are rather different from that. Their major preoccupations are to, with regard to GLONASS at least, is to use it for their own commercial benefit, and B, to use GLONASS as a powerful weapon, or tool, I should say. Weapon is the wrong word. Powerful tool to help them to overcome many of the technical problems that they have within the Soviet Union itself. Let me mention one or two. Dr. Ivanov of the International Space Devices Institute in Moscow visited us once, and I asked him the same question that you're asking me, and he said to me, how many aerodromes do you think we have in the Soviet Union? So I thought, well, it's bound to be a large number. So I said, 300? And he said, 10,000. And he said, how many of them do you think have any navigation aids whatsoever? And I said, not very many. And he said, right. Now he said, you see, one reason why an enormous country like the Soviet Union finds GLONASS of enormous importance for its own internal use. Now, this is one particular application. Remember that the Russians have had no major expenditure with all the current navigation aids that we run now in the West, and which cost a lot of money. And they say GLONASS is allowing them to leapfrog this enormous expense and to solve many of their major problems in one go. One only has to add to this the applications that they're thinking of with regard to oil exploration, navigation of their fleet in the northern seas, applications like use of forestry. Remember that it's more than likely that many of their own maps of major regions in the Soviet Union are not terribly good. I might say that they are not the only country of whom one could say that. Not the only, including the United States.
Right.
And remember, in the United States, the applications range from farming, agriculture, forestry, yachting. The railroads are enormously interested. cars, trucks, you name it. But I think these applications, the latter ones, will come later. The Russians, I think, are more interested at this stage in keeping the major infrastructure going at this stage.
So more so than the Navstar system and the GLONASS system, obviously the military application is still valid, but they're really looking towards, as you said, building their infrastructure and supporting their national economy.
I think so. And the major area of application at this point in time, which they see and which others see, is in civil aviation. And I think this is the most exciting development that has occurred within the last few years, because it seems as though all the interested parties within the civil aviation community are agreed that satellite navigation is going to meet their future needs for navigation systems, and these interested parties I mentioned are within the United States, Russia, and all other countries which are involved, and of course that's nearly every country in the world.
Well, finally, we've got these two systems, and obviously there's some commonality between them, but the important differences. Is it possible to build a single receiver that would receive both GLONASS and GPS, and therefore perhaps get the benefits of both?
Oh yes, we've been doing it for years. We have had a joint GPS-GLONASS receiver since 1986. We have been doing measurements on both systems since that time and providing it to the international timing community. You're right to ask the question, of course. There are technical difficulties involved, but they can be overcome. 5 years ago, it was thought that perhaps these difficulties would be such as to cause the joint receiver to be inordinately expensive, but with modern technology is changing so fast that it's quite possible to see this development taking place, and you can believe it that many groups in universities and other places are pursuing this matter right now.
Well, thank you, Peter, for joining us tonight on the Space Show.
It's a pleasure.